Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. This is N7IVV, November 7, India, Victor, Victor. Activating the clock here, Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. Tonight, I would like to talk about, or I'd like you to talk about, what you've learned this last few days as far as emergency response, emergency preparedness, quite frankly, even outside the realm of amateur radio. If any of you did have any experiences, but hopefully if you used your radios or did anything to prepare for problems. A lot of people were out of power. A lot of people were stuck in strange places. So, interesting situation here. So, whatever you may have done or lessons learned or plans to make in the future, like Thursday night, got another weather pattern moving in tomorrow night. Why don't you share that with the group. Announcements, of course, our club meeting coming up next Thursday, the 13th of January. That's 7:15 p.m. We will be virtually only. For those of you that don't know, the rest of you, I'm sure, it's just a reminder. But the link, and of course, anybody is welcome. Club member, licensed amateur, well, whoever. We encourage anybody to come and join us in our meetings, whether they're face-to-face or virtual. But virtual makes it very easy for anyone anywhere to join with us. Anyway, the link and the information is on the homepage of our website. So, again, W4VA. .org, sorry. Got an email. That's the thing here. Let's see. Oh, and the topic of discussion, the main discussion after the meeting will be a presentation and discussion by Nick, K4IUM, regarding the new 4-H ham club that they have been putting together. Their plans, specifically building out a trailer. They've actually obtained funds for the purchase of a trailer, the purchase of equipment, and what kind of equipment they're going to be getting, discussing that is, and also, of course, looking forward to and discussing people who can assist with being Elmers and whatnot. Obviously Nick is licensed, and there's one or two others who are long-timers and have experience, but obviously the more we can all get involved, the better off everybody is. I would like to also discuss some of our plans on the radar for this coming year. I did send an email out. Hopefully most of you had a chance to look at that. We don't need to actually plan the activities, but I would like to at least get things calendared and let you all know what's coming up. We've got a number of things going on, some contesting that is a very big deal for the club. We've got some fox hunts that are coming up. We've got field day. We've got public service events. Lots of stuff that we can get involved in for those who would like to. So we will also be discussing that some on Thursday evening. And frankly, because they've been having audio-visual problems at the PATH Foundation room that we're in, everybody virtual may end up being a better venue for us because we can all hear each other talk. So that might work out well. Speaking of activities, there are a number of contests coming up in the next week or so, but the only one I'm going to mention specifically is the ARRL January VHF contest. We have a number of people in the club that really enjoy doing that and are prepping for it. KM4OZH is one who's very involved, and of course N1RA is also very involved. We don't hear him on the net too much lately. He's been very busy. But a number of our club members do participate quite heavily in that, so you might look forward to that. And of course, being VHF, anybody with a technician class or higher can participate and get to get on the air with the contest venue. Of course, dues are due. Actually, they're overdue now, technically. We've got a number of people that haven't renewed. I hope that's because they've lost interest in the club. I mean, did I say hope I did? I hope it's not that they did. I hope it's just that they've overlooked the time. So please get your dues paid, and we appreciate that. And of course, anything you can do to be active in the club, we sure appreciate. And if there's anything we can do for you, let us know as well, the board. Anybody have any other announcements that I've overlooked? This is N7IBV. Go ahead.
KX4KU.
Go ahead, Kevin. KX4KU, N7IBV.
Just wanted to, also this weekend on Saturday, I believe, is the rescheduled Soda QSO party. So most of that will be on VHF, but some of that will be on HF. But anyway, those guys are, this was rescheduled from January 1st. So anyway, just wanted to add that. N7IBV, KX4KU.
Okay, Kevin, yeah, thanks for that reminder. So Saturday morning-ish, check the groups.io posting. They've got that up there. You can get the details. But Soda is a lot of fun. That summit's on the air for those of you that may not be familiar with that. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take check-ins, general check-ins. Anybody anywhere that's licensed, go ahead and check in now. This is N7IBV.
KN4FPL.
N1BED.
KX4KU.
K4BLX. KO4LUA.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
NQNAR, in and out.
WB7RAV.
Okay, I don't know if people are as busy or probably just more busy than anything else, but I see we're getting kind of light here on check-ins lately, but that's okay. We love everybody that's always here with us, and we love those that aren't, too. Anyway, KX4KU, KN4SPL, N1BED, K4BOX, KO4LUA, KM4OZH, N2NAR, Mike, in and out. Thanks for stopping by. WB7RAV. Anybody else want to check in? This is N7IBV.
W4JOT.
Okay, W4JOT. Jason, good to hear you again. All right, well, I guess I'll start off what little I did or needed to worry about, I should say. We've been very lucky here at my home QTH to be in the shadow of one of the substations for distribution. And a lot of our power, of course, is underground, and the mile between us and the substation is well-groomed as far as trees and whatnot. So we were only out of power for about 45 minutes, and so we feel very blessed here, and I did not have to worry about backup power and didn't have to worry about getting out and going anywhere. And, of course, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing when things are bad. And it just doesn't, I mean, unless it's a life or death situation, there's just no need to get out. So you just kind of hunker down until roads are cleared enough for you to do so. Of course, I'm sure we've all heard the accounts of people being stuck on I-95 for 20-plus hours, in some cases even a lot more than that. Seen pictures of trees down all over the place and blocking roads. I spoke with N7RCE this morning. David, who was actually his neighborhood, they had trees down all over the place, so he was out with his tractor. He had other people doing the cutting and whatnot, and he took the tractor and pushed everything out of the way. So that's always helpful. Not ham radio, but still preparedness and being able to help out. Anyway, with that said, let's go over to KX4KU. Kevin, how are you tonight?
N7IGG, KX4KU, and that good evening, Brad. Living in an apartment, I don't really have that many things to need in an emergency. However, my nephew, where my remote station is still out of power. So I did see today CWT from the apartment set up, QRP, made 25 contacts, so which isn't too bad. But hopefully they'll get power, you know. I've told him many a times ways he could hook things up so he could use the generator to power more than just an extension cord. Not enough to power the whole house, but it's at least, 5,500-watt generator. He could at least get the water pump running and that kind of thing, but, you know. He blows me off about it, and times like this, he starts thinking about it again, but, you know, you can't procrastinate on that stuff and go, oh, I can wait. And I had another friend who has a generator for their house with a proper hookup, and she didn't have the gas. Once again, she was not prepared, as I explained to her. So, preparedness means you gotta always be prepared, not be put it off, I guess, is the one lesson to learn. That's all I have for you, for everyone tonight. Everyone be safe, and N7IBV kids, for KU back to that.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for that. Of course, even though you live in an apartment, you've sent me some information a number of times about how many people, right, actually in Culpeper, are out of power and in some rather strange places, like right next to the hospital. So just because you live right in town doesn't mean you're going to be safe or insulated from that type of problem. Speaking of generators, last year sometime, big storm went through Midwest, Texas specifically. I don't remember now whether it was a winter time or if it was a hurricane throw off or something in the summer. Anyway, the thing is, my folks were out of power for some time, and that has a generator. Well, the thing with generators, you really need to start them up once a month or something like that. You've got to get in a regimen of doing that, because if you don't use it, frankly, if you don't use any gasoline-powered engine for long periods of time, you're going to be hurting to try and get that thing started if you have a sudden need to use it. The gas varnishes up and basically clogs the carburetor, and so the easiest thing to do is simply start it once a month or so. Remind yourself of how to use it, and then just give some thought as to how to use it and what you want to use it for. It doesn't do any good to simply buy something and then set it in the garage and think you're prepared. KN4SPL, Bob, what you up to tonight? You don't go out and have to restore too many people's power, I'm sure, but you work in that industry, so if you have any interesting stories or accounts, share that with us. N7IVV, go ahead.
N7IVV, and the net from KN4SPL. Good evening, Brad. And all on the net, let's see, I'm not going to really go down the generator route. Luckily, at least here at the house, I think we get the blessings of Remington, too, because we rarely lose power unless there's an accident out on 29 and someone takes the pole out. At least for me, I did have to travel in the snow the other day, and I'll tell you, for being prepared, I did not get stuck anywhere, luckily. I'm in a four-wheel truck, so four-wheel drive truck, so it's definitely helps. But I always carry a get-home bag. And in that get-home bag, I have food, toilet paper, Mylar, blankets, even a Mylar tent, stuff to make a small fire with, a small grill with, and I try to be prepared in case anything ever was to happen when you're out on the road, because you just never know. And those poor people stuck out on I-95 could definitely have used stuff that would have been in my bag. So, you know, it never hurts to be prepared on the highway. So that's what I got to say about that. As far as the snow goes, I have my dipole up in the cypress, and the cypress got extremely weighted down by the snow and ripped out guy stakes and almost knocked over the mast, and well, I got it mostly back up again, but it's, my antenna's still hurting pretty good because of all the snow, so there's that too. That's all I got for tonight. This is KN4, SPL, back to net.
Okay, Bob, thanks for that report. The antenna situation there, that's always an interesting thing. Two things that I find interesting. One is just a physical, how much snow and ice you can actually get to accumulate on a piece of wire. You know, with the storm here the other night, it was, I found it very unusual. I haven't seen horizontal snow for long periods of time since I was a kid living in Michigan. And this was even worse, of course, because it was sticky. And it was very, very interesting, especially, you know, I was up watching it during the night. But to get up the next morning and to see almost as much snow accumulated on the sides of things as there was on the ground. But the point is, it was sticky. And, of course, looking out at my antennas, I've got three wire antennas, one of which is an inverted V that's up on the house, and which is, well, it puts the peak of it about 35 feet up and then slopes down to trees. One of the legs is actually pretty long. And, boy, I'll tell you what, that thing was sagging, and I do not have counterweights on the ends like many of you do with, you know, pulleys that come down to a weight that takes some of the strain off if the antenna gets heavy and it pulls the weight up, and so your antenna doesn't snap. And for those of you that have wire antennas, you ought to think about that. But anyway, it was just kind of interesting to see how far down everything was sagging, but still managed to stay up. You look around, you can see some real interesting pictures on the internet of people who live in places that get some serious snow. And, you know, not only have they had wire antennas snap, but they've had entire towers come down, you know, with their Yagis and everything, and that's got to be heartbreaking. But I guess if nothing else, Bob and anybody else, this gives you an opportunity to kind of rethink how everything is attached and what might be done to improve it. And, of course, you know, if it's not an emergency, then it's like, well, okay, when everything melts and we put it up and we get going again. But I'm going to let N1BED tell an interesting story that he told me the wee hours of the morning, I guess, or last night, and I'm going to share my anecdote that goes along with that concerning preparedness and what you stick in your car and whatnot. So anyway, over to N1BED and 7IVV.
N7IVV, N1BED, thanks for having me. You got to remind me, though, I know you have something specific in mind. I want to make sure I discuss exactly what you're thinking of. If you can give me a reminder, we did talk about quite a bit.
Soccer fields.
Oh, yes, the soccer fields. Thank you. That's actually a great story. For those of you who don't know me or don't know me well, I am an assistant emergency coordinator with Loudoun County Aries. I'm a former assistant emergency coordinator with Prince William County Aries. I'm still active with both counties. And we focus on preparedness as part of serving our communities, you know. And we all go through and develop taking care of ourselves at home and making sure our family is well taken care of so we can go serve our community in confidence knowing that our families are going to be okay. And there's quite a bit that can go behind it depending on how much you want to get involved with it. Key points for home is you should really have a 3-day plan and a 7-day plan and then an extended plan. Most extended plans are about 3 months, and then after 3 months you need to find a more sustainable option. So with our short-term plans, you know, we're typically going to make sure that there's enough food and water for you to stay home comfortably for 3 days without having to leave the home if we have severe weather, things along those lines, with the storm that we just had. Having some emergency heat, small portable propane heaters, even propane-powered lanterns throw a tremendous amount of heat. For winter storms, you're going to want to be able to be sure that you can either heat your house or at least heat a small room. With regards to auxiliary power, if you have solar panels and battery banks, whether it's going to be something that runs your whole home or if you just have a 100-watt system and a couple of batteries, it's a good start. Also, I personally have 4,000 watts of gasoline generator power, and that makes it so we can run critical electronics here in the house, whether it's to keep communications gear going or for anybody who has family members with disabilities who may need oxygen or other medical devices. You want to be sure that you plan for stuff like that. And, you know, those are just some of the simple things at the house. And with regards to going out on the road, I really can't stress enough that you need to actively look at weather forecasts, look at traffic alerts. If you don't need to leave the house, don't. If you do need to leave the house, try to watch what the timing windows are for the weather alerts. Make sure that you can get home or to work or wherever you need to be and not be trapped in the weather, not be one of those people trapped on the highway for 24 hours. And if you are going to be out in the weather, you know, it's very important that you have the proper items with you to make sure that if you wind up in a situation where you're stuck, that you're able to survive, whether it's, again, the small snacks, water, emergency blankets, possibly even little hand pack warmers, anything that you may be able to keep in the vehicle with you. Having alternate communications besides for a cell phone is a huge plus, which I'm sure isn't a problem with the group that I'm chatting to tonight. And I want everybody to understand that this is a very important thing to consider with regards to making sure you're prepared in your vehicle and you're able to survive if you need to. Even though we're in a fairly developed area, you can actually find yourself in a very unique situation. And what Brad was talking about with the folks in the soccer field, back during the snowstorms that we had at the end of 2015 going into 2016, we had one storm that dropped 14 inches of snow, and then 2 days later we got another 18 inches of snow. And I was driving around in my Jeep looking to see if there were people that needed any kind of help or anything and noodling through the neighborhoods. And I was able to help a few people, and I had found myself out on the road at probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. May have even been 2:30. And I was driving down 234 South over by the county soccer fields. And I saw some headlights way, way off in the distance, like out in the middle of the soccer fields. And at first I didn't really think anything of it. I figured there were probably some kids out there in ATVs or something doing donuts, and I just proceeded to kind of go about my business. And as I look over, I noticed that it was just a car kind of sitting there. And I took my Jeep and I went out into where I perceived the driveway to be and got closer to the soccer fields. And I saw that there was a Crown Vic just sitting hundreds of yards off the main road out in the middle of the soccer fields and several feet of snow. And I got out there to find that there had been an elderly couple who was trying to make their way home, and it was late, it was dark, and they wound up losing control of their vehicle and slid off the road so far that they had literally managed to get hundreds of yards off the road out into the middle of these soccer fields. It was extremely cold, and there was nobody else around. And
I was able to help make sure that they got warmed up in my vehicle because they had shut their vehicle off because their exhaust was actually under the snow. They were worried about suffocating, which thankfully they were smart enough to know about that. And I was able to use my Jeep to drag their vehicle back up to the main road, and I was able to get them on their way. But they literally had no supplies. There were no homes around, and even if there were, it was pretty treacherous walking. And, you know, there's a really good possibility that if I didn't bump into them, that they may not have made it till someone did discover them the following day. So I'd hate to hear about any of us getting hurt, hate to hear about any of you guys losing a family member or losing your life yourselves. So please be sure that you're keeping at least some basic items in the vehicle with you, blankets, portable heat, whatever you can if you have to venture out into the winter months. I could literally talk for hours, but I'm not going to bore everybody. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I'll turn it back over to Brad, N7IVV, this N1BED, back to net control.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. By the way, I'm sorry, there's one little thing I forgot to mention during the announcements. The VHF contest, the date for that is the weekend of the 15th. Actually, it goes from 1900 Zulu on the 15th through 0400 Zulu on January 17th. So put that on your calendars. You know, a little detail that might help as far as when they're going to do the contest. Anyway, a little history for me. I grew up in a family where Dad was very much into preparedness. He actually was a professor at Michigan State University, and among other things, started teaching a wilderness survival course, which became like the most popular course on campus for various reasons. And so he was, of course, doing classes, taking field trips, and, you know, doing this all the time. So I grew up in that environment. We lived out in rural Michigan around, you know, East Lansing area. And we were taught to always carry emergency supplies, just like Mark has mentioned. And then Bob has mentioned, and so I have tried to do that. I've not been very good at doing so around here. But then, literally just the other day, I was kind of cleaning up, and I looked at the bag that I usually carry around in the car, and I thought, you know, around here, if I get stuck, I'm going to be within, you know, hailing distance of a house. I don't need to carry that around. And then, of course, this storm hit, and then talking to Mark last night, I realized, you know, it really doesn't matter where we are. Something could happen, and we would be glad that we had some sort of emergency supplies. You know, we don't need to stuff the trunk full of everything, but something as simple as a little bit of water, a spare blanket, you know, space blankets. Those Mylar things are really nice as far as space saving, but frankly, you can fold up a whole blanket or two and put them in your trunk and never miss the space. So I'm going to go back and redo my emergency thoughts. And do that for if I am out, but, you know, I kind of prefer to just not go out. And if I need to go out when the weather's really nasty, you guys, most of you know that I have an old Army Deuce and a half that'll pretty much go through anything. But anyway, with that said, let's go over to Garth, K4BOX, N7IVV. Go ahead.
N7IVV, K4BOX. Wonderful topic tonight, Brad. I appreciate it. We lost power for about a day, you know, better off than most folks, I think. But, you know, we're okay. You know, every time we lose power, I try to take stock of, you know, what went well and what went poorly and try to fix it for the next time. And we've been through this a number of times because where we live, we lose power almost universally with the first storm of the season. So I've had now 7 years of practice. We have a wood stove, which keeps us warm. And, you know, we have a variety of solar lanterns and stuff to keep us with light. We did actually get a transfer switch installed thanks to Steve, I think it's K3KG, I don't know the call sign, but there was a conversation that happened on the reflector about transfer switches, and he mentioned Rappahannock will install them. So I had that done earlier in the year. I didn't need to use it this time, but it was a comfort to know that it was there. We have pressure tanks that give us a steady supply of water for at least a few hours after we lose power. And like Bob and Mark had mentioned, I keep a bag in my car. But that was my big lesson learned from this is, you know, I put that bag in my car probably 5 years ago, and I don't think I've looked at it since. So this is hearing the horror stories of the folks stuck on 95 has kind of inspired me to go ahead and revisit that this week and make sure that everything's good in there. I keep a wool blanket in there. I don't like the Mylar stuff. The wool I like. It's a little bulky, but it's just in my car. But then I have some food and some water and some other stuff in there for whatever may come up. But I should definitely revisit that. Anyway, that's it. This is K4BOS. Back to net.
Okay, Gar. Thanks for that. I guess you said you got your power back now. Bob K4SPL mentioned that he gets the benefit of Remington as far as power being up. Well, the strange thing was that Remington was out of power for a long time yesterday. The downtown area. So I don't know if they're on a different circuit or what the deal there is, but you just never know. And of course, you may be the lucky one that has a tree that came down right on your house. Actually, my wife told me of an acquaintance that she has whose power is out and won't be back up for a number of days, possibly weeks. And it's because her power pole with the transformer is laying in her yard. The whole thing came down. It wasn't just a matter of hooking the wires back up, but it was the entire pole that came down. So who knows? Of course, you could have had a truck that ran into that and it caused the same problem. But something about having an emergency pack in your car. If you do have things like food and water, you might want to think about rotating that once in a while. Water, by and large, is going to be just fine, especially if it's store-bought sealed. But something else comes to mind. It would be interesting, and maybe Mark even has some information on this, but to find information, I'm sure somebody's already done it, or you actually do empirical experiments ourselves, as far as how well these Mylar blankets actually work to hold the heat in if you're stuck and need something compared to a more standard blanket. I really have no idea. I've never tried it. Those things have been around forever, and I've never heard anybody debunk the concept, but I just don't know. Anyway, KO4LUA, Charles, how are you doing tonight? Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KO4LUA. Brad, it was good working with you on 15 this morning. As far as emergency packs, I've never carried one. I've carried a shovel and some abrasive to help me get out of being stuck somewhere, but never an emergency source like food and water. So that's a big consideration. My emergency stuff this week was hindered. I had my generator out in the sheds, and had a foot of snow, so I had to dig that out. The vehicles I had parked at the top of the driveway, so I had to dig the whole driveway to get them out. So some considerations, moved the generator closer and parked the vehicles at the end of the driveway. So that's the biggest thing I have to consider for this next snow. That's about it. KO4LUA.
Okay, Charles, thanks for that. Yeah, it's always a pleasure working Rare DX with you guys. I worked N1BAT also this morning or sometime today. Dave hasn't been on the net here for quite some time, but anyway, it's kind of fun to work him. I get a kick out of working the local guys. And it's interesting because I'll see somebody like you or N1BAT or even sometimes there's a fellow down in Culpeper who's K4CUL, N4CUL, and he's like 3 miles from me. And then I'll get somebody from the other side of the world coming in with a stronger signal. So, I don't know, it's just interesting with the way propagation works. KM4OZH, Gil, how was your preparation going for the VHF contest? Go ahead, N7IVV.
N7IVV, KM4OZH. Good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. Yeah, I'm just sitting here operating the rover console, sitting in front of the console with its fold-up legs, and the trailer hitch-mounted antenna mast at about 8 feet in another room. So that's it's sitting in front of the wood stove. So there we go. I guess I have a boring life. This snow didn't really affect me much at all. Power didn't go off. The lights didn't flicker. Of course, the city of Manassas co-op here is mostly underground, so that's not a problem. But contrary to right directly across the street is Novec, and that's overhead lines, and their power goes out all the time. So that's just the way that works. But my big preparation was early Monday morning. I said, I think I'm going to go wait instead of waiting till Tuesday morning, which is my normal grocery store run. I said at 7:30 in the morning, I hightailed it out of here when there was only like an inch of snow on the ground, and went to the grocery store. So that was my prepared, scared. And other than that, I just sat around here and really no particular excitement. I did go out and look at my I saw all the snow on my 40 meter. Wire dipole, and so I went there, looked, and the counterweight was like 6 feet. I couldn't even reach the counterweight. It was so, normally it's like a foot off the ground. So that part was working, and but that's about all I got going here this evening. And I keep a bottle of water and a thing of Pop Tarts in my in the Rover vehicle there. It usually always stays in there. So I got, that's the only emergency equipment that I got to speak of. But I heard some good story. N1 BEDs, that's a good story. He's the right place, man, right at the right place at the right time. So good deal. But that's all I got for this evening. N7IVD is KM4OZH.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot, Gil. A lot of you guys have mentioned food. I carry about a 2-3 week supply of food around me wherever I go at any time of the year. So those of you that know me know exactly what I'm talking about, and I think all of you do. And by the way, just from a survival standpoint, the average person can go a number of weeks, at least a whole week, if not more, without food. They won't be very happy, but they can survive. Whereas water, depending on where you are, you can go anywhere from as low as 24 hours to maybe 3 days without water. Obviously, out of the desert where I did a lot of growing up, you're going to be on the low end of that scale. But water is very important. And food, yeah, we can all probably go without food for 24 hours, which will get us through. But anyway, I was going to say something else there. Oh, groceries. You went out to get groceries. I've always found it rather humorous to see the way the shelves just get emptied whenever some kind of storm comes up, because everybody worries about not being able to get food. We have a policy here at my house. I grew up in a church where preparedness has always been talked about and preached and whatnot. And that preparedness years ago ended up being like, oh, storing wheat and, you know, cans and bags of wheat and that kind of stuff. And first of all, people found that they'd never used it, and then when they did use it, it's like, well, what do we do with this? And so people started learning that the best way to be prepared if you want to, you know, whether we're talking snow or something a little bit more long-term, what you do is you simply buy more of what you normally eat. You know, you don't go out and spend $3,000 on a, you know, 6 or 8 or 12-month supply of whatever. You simply buy a few extra, whatever it is that you normally shop for. And you'll find that after a month or two or three, you've suddenly got 2 or 3 months of extra food, so that if you lose your job or something crazy happens and we get COVID-37 that comes up and really shuts down the whole system, then you're a little bit prepared, and it didn't cost you an arm and a leg to get that way. Anyway, over to Randy, WB7RAV. For station identification, this is N7IVV. This is the Wednesday night general service net for the FARA, Fauquier Amateur Radio Association, which we hold every Wednesday night, and we're having a little bit more lively discussion tonight than we often do. But we usually talk about ham radio topics, but frankly, preparedness kind of comes into the whole, ham radio comes into part of to play with preparedness as well. Anyway, over to Randy, WB7RAV, N7IVV. Go ahead.
This is WB7RAV, and to the net, good topic tonight. A lot of good comments overnight. One I haven't heard yet is running out to the store and buying 6 months worth of toilet paper like we did a couple of years ago when the COVID started. Hi. Standby. We decided we were not going to go anywhere, didn't need to do anything, so we had food already in place, and we're just going to batten down hatches and wait it out. Typically, we do that for all the winter weather over the last few years, and just make sure you're prepared for it. If you have to go, then fine, you have to go, and just be careful. Make sure the roads are clear. But having radios set up that where if somebody does holler, need help, you can help respond to them and whatnot. Less of that lately because of cell phones. You know, just be aware of what is going on and that you don't need to go anywhere if you don't have to. And go with that. We had my son lives with us. We had him take his truck out and just beat the snow down a bit. A few runs up and down the driveway. I got a 500-foot long driveway, so we had him go run up and down the driveway and at least cut a path in for us to get out if we had to and whatnot. I ventured out today, went down to Culpeper and back, and next time I have to leave is sometime Friday morning, and I'm dreading that weather coming in. Nothing else going on here. WB7RAB, back to net.
Okay, very good, thanks. I won't talk this time. We'll turn it right straight over to Jason, W4JOT. Good hearing from you tonight. Go ahead.
Good evening, N7IVV and the net. This is W4JOT. Not much going on here. We lost power the day of the storm for about 7 or 8 hours, and we just built this house 3 years ago. We are in Culpeper, just north of town. And one of my requirements was a generator, so I did some shopping around, and I found a great deal on a 13.5 kW propane generator on Marketplace, and I went up to Arlington and uninstalled it and brought it down here and installed it myself to save a ton of money, and it's helped us a couple times. So, actually, I wasn't home while it was running. My wife was home. I was actually in Charlottesville at the fire department, where I was stuck from Friday evening through Wednesday morning. I ended up finally coming home. So I've got a lot of work here. I got a bunch of limbs to pick up around the house and trees to pick up around the house, but we definitely planned ahead. We got the generator and we got the wood stove going here, and we're good. The road behind me, I can still hear generators running, so there's definitely still some outages in the Culpeper area, but that's all I've got going around here. I'm doing some reading on the rules for the upcoming VHF contest. I'm going to participate in that, and that's about all I got, so I'll give it back to the net. This is W4JFT.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's I've been stuck out away from home a time or two where I had responsibilities and couldn't get home before the storm moved in, so, I mean, that's almost more important for preparedness than other things. I mean, there at the fire station, you guys were okay, but, you know, if you're stuck at some business that has, you know, barely has a vending machine, you may be kind of hurting, but anyway. All right, well, that's the end of our check-in list so far, so I want to open it up for new check-ins or rechecks. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
N1-GDT-RECHECK-04-UVL, checking in from Chester Gap.
N04-LLC.
I doubled with somebody at 1DQD, recheck.
Professor 2, Foxtrot, Whiskey.
Okay, I think I got everybody there. I got KO4UBL, Uniform Bravo Lima. I think that's Steven. And KO4LLC, George, good to have you. And to Foxtrot Whiskey, I think, that's Joseph Dunn Stafford. And Mark, I got your recheck. Anybody else that I missed or corrections, go ahead. Okay, well, let's turn it over to Steven then, KO4UBL. Thanks for joining us tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for running this net. Up here in Chester Gap, we've got about 6 inches of snow, but I've heard down towards Fredericksburg. My brother-in-law down there, he's been 3 days without power. Does anybody know anything about that?
Yeah, they're kind of hurting down there. That's right there by that where the I-95 got slammed and people were stuck, and there's a lot more power down over there. Don't have any idea when they may be back up, but it just depends on where they are. You know, it's kind of spotty on when people come back up. Go ahead.
Copy that. Other than that, that's really all I had. Again, thank you for running the net. What was your name again?
You know, I'm sorry. I don't even think I said my name. Whether anybody knows me or not, I guess I forgot to do that. Name is Brad. Bravo, Romeo, Alpha, Delta, Brad. And call is November 7, India, Victor, Victor. I'm the club president here in the Warrenton area. So anything else? Back over to you. And if not, then kick it back over here with your call. Go ahead.
No. Well, it's nice to meet you, Brad. I'm seeing you, obviously. And I'll kick it back over to the net.
Okay, Steve, very good. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. KO4 LLC, George, how are you doing today? Go ahead.
Good evening, Brad. Everyone on the net, doing well. Sorry, I've been absent, been very busy doing work. In my past life, I actually was an over-road truck driver back in the 90s. So I had the opportunity to drive Michigan, Wisconsin, all those places in the snow. So I learned from that to always carry my blankets, first aid kits, about everything I could think of for any emergency situation. So now I've kind of carried that over to my car, so I have most everything in there. I bought a kit a couple of years back that included emergency food, Mylar blanket, water, a couple of other things. And then I also have a tactical first aid kit or trauma first aid kit that I also carry in my car. When I used to have a four-wheel drive, I still had tow straps and everything for, it seemed like I was always running up on people's cars on fire, so I also have big fire extinguishers with me most of the time. Let me take a nickel here. One of the other things I ran across a couple weeks ago, I think people may be familiar, there's a operator in Finland who does a lot of testing on equipment in emergency situations, and he brought to my attention at least that lithium batteries do not charge very well when they get cold. So I'm actually thinking about maybe finding something in the old-fashioned lead acid for winter operations and things like that that can be charged on my solar panel, just in case my lithium battery doesn't handle that very well. But anyway, we only had a blinking light down here in Chancellorsville, but I did get 14.5 inches of snow on my snowboard out here out back. And we are doing pretty well. Other than that, I just finally got my driveway dug all the way out today, just in time for the next step. KO4 LLC, back to net.
Okay, well, glad to see you, excuse the pun, but you weathered the storm well. And 14 inches of snow, that's a bunch. I mean, you know, 6 or 7 around here is a bunch, but you mentioned your snowboard and how much you measured. I've got a weather station, and I've been collecting and transmitting weather information to the Weather Underground and whatnot for over 25 years now or something like that. But anyway, the station I have, this is, I think, the first time, maybe the second, that it has ever iced up, the anemometer, I mean, has ever iced up from the storm and wasn't working. And that's because the way it's built, of course, everything is shielded, so, you know, rain and snow coming down on it, it doesn't lock everything up. But this snow coming in sideways actually got up in there and stopped the anemometer from spinning and the wind vane from turning. So it was just kind of interesting, and there was a lot of wind, so it really did lock it up. Anyway, enough of that. N2FW, Joe. Is it Joe or Joseph? Go ahead, please.
Hey, Roger, Brad. It's Joe. We're here in Stafford, about a mile and a half away from the Potomac River, by the Whitewater, mile and a half from the Whitewater stop in the road. We got about 12 inches here, and I'm still without power. And I'm running on the HT right now to my antenna outside. Back to that.
Okay, well, now there we get back to ham radio and being prepared, because you know, if you don't have power, how are you going to charge your HTs? So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, you can always go out and stick it in your car and do it that way. But I rarely use my HTs, and so I just kind of sits here. It actually sits in the charger most of the time. But still, something to think about. For what it's worth, also your signal, you got a real good full quieting signal into the repeater up here tonight. N1BED for your recheck. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. You're probably going to yell at me. I usually leave my HT batteries at about 65-70% of their normal charge and store them, and I don't fully charge them unless I actually plan on using them. But I wanted to touch base. You were talking about how the Mylar blankets work and things along those lines. The Mylar blankets are, the reason why they work is because they're reflective material, and they legitimately reflect radiated heat back toward its source. Last I checked, it would radiate as much as, or redirect as much as 90% of your body heat back toward you. And as many people know, layers are a great key to success as well. So if you have a Mylar blanket that's large enough that you can fold it over on top of itself at least once so you can see layers, that'll work. Or if you have another heavy blanket that you can put over the Mylar blanket, you'll have even more success. And something that is really important to understand about the Mylar blankets and how handy they can be with regard to emergency preparedness, whether you're on the road or at home, the Mylar blankets are primarily to help prevent hypothermia, and hypothermia has nothing to do with the outside temperature and everything to do with what's happening with your body temperature. You're considered hypothermic when your body temperature drops below 95 degrees, and we all know that you can get hypothermic when you're cold. A lot of people also understand that if you're wet and the wind's blowing, the water evaporating from your body helps trip the heat. And Mylar blankets can be crucial with regard to that. And also with regards to automobile accidents, one of our members earlier had mentioned being an over-the-road driver and coming across car accidents and what have you. If someone is injured and they're losing a significant amount of blood, a lot of people don't realize this, but the blood flowing through your body is what helps keep your body temperature regulated. And if someone is bleeding excessively, their body temperature is also crashing as well. So even if it's 95 or 98 degrees outside or 60 degrees outside, a Mylar blanket could make the difference between whether you or someone you care about actually survives. There's a lot more to it than just being comfortable. So just wanted to touch base on that. With that said, N7IVB, this N1DED, back to net control.
Okay, thanks, Mark, for that clarification. I knew they were reflective, I guess it also works the opposite way and kind of reflects the cold out away from you from on the outside. But hypothermia. By the way, nobody freezes to death. There's no such thing as freezing to death. You actually die at the hypothermia. And hypothermia simply means that your body cannot generate enough heat and the core temperature drops below, like Mark said, 95 degrees. And you can cascade, you can die of hypothermia when the temperature is 60 degrees outside if you're out there and unprotected, especially if it's rainy. So if it is cold, you will be dead from the hypothermia, and then you freeze. So it's a misnomer to say people freeze to death. So anyway, keep that in mind also. So the Mylar blanket can help in pretty much any situation. All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the net tonight. That is, I'm going to call it closed. Appreciate everybody checking in tonight. Of course, anybody's welcome to use the repeater as they normally would and continue discussions and whatnot. But this is N7IVV, and this has been the Wednesday night FARA General Service Net, which happens every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And if you have any questions, you can get on our website at w4va.org. We'll do this again next week. We also have a net on Sunday nights where we do a little bit more technical discussion. Stand by. Okay, again, this is N7IVV returning the repeater to normal use. Everyone have a good night and a pleasant tomorrow.
Thanks for being out there for us tonight, Brad. Much appreciated. 73 to N1BED.
Good night, everybody. Good job, Brad. Sorry I didn't run around earlier to check in, but great discussion. Everybody stay safe out there, KF4TEK.